Hello everyone and welcome to this week's edition of Boat Briefing. My name is Stuart Campbell, Editor-in-Chief of Boat International, and here making her podcast presenting debut is Sophia Wilson, our Acting Deputy Editor. Sophia, many readers of the magazine will know your name, but why don't you reveal a bit more about yourself to our podcast audience and do a quick intro.
Hi all, yeah, so it's great to be here, but also slightly terrifying to be in the hot seat, so please bear with me. I've been at Boat for nearly 7 years now and have had various different roles during that time, most notably 4 years as travel editor, which Stuart regularly tells everyone is the best job in journalism. I'm inclined to agree because I have been to some pretty fantastic places on some pretty amazing yachts over the years. Anyway, this week it was actually our US executive editor, Cecile, who was in charge of the interview, and she caught up the lovely David and Anne Sutherland, who are the owners of All In. Cecile caught up with the husband and wife duo from their office in Dallas. The couple are the founders of Perennials Fabrics and Sutherland Furniture, who I'm sure a lot of our listeners are already aware of. And they've been at Monaco Yacht Show for more than a decade with those brands, but they only decided to buy their first superyacht in 2019. They ended up purchasing 39.6 metre All In and undertook a crash 6 week refit, incorporating a lot of their own fabrics and furniture, as you'd expect, to make sure she was ready for the charter market. They've actually loved the experience so much that they revealed to Cecile that they might already be on the lookout for their next yacht. It's a great interview, so make sure you stay tuned for more details on that and what their next project might be at the end of our news chat.
Thank you, Sophia. By the way, everyone, travel editor of a superyacht magazine is officially the best job in journalism. that's just a fact. But thank you, Sophia. Great to have you with us. And All In, great boat. Great. It's a really, really successful charter yacht. In fact, we ran a series of talks for our owners club earlier this year called the Boat Talks Sessions. And we had the captain and charter head of US charter management in the US talking about All In particularly, because we said to Fraser, if you could select one charter yacht that would be the exemplar of what a good charter yacht should be, they chose All In. It really is a successful boat with a great program, great owners, and a brilliant captain. So it's just a really good mixture, adding all up to a very successful boat indeed. So you might detect a slight croakiness in my voice. It's because I'm at the Cannes Yachting Festival. I'm in Cannes. I'm not at the festival. I'm actually in my hotel room recording this with some very dodgy Wi-Fi. The cleaner's trying to get into the room. I've already blown through my checkout time and the taxi's turning up in a minute. This is Edge of the Seat podcasting. Listeners, I hope you're enjoying it.
God, who knew that the Boat Briefing could be such tense film recording.
It really is. It's like the cleaner keeps banging a vacuum cleaner against my door, so forgive me. Oh, and the air conditioning's on and there's a construction site next door, so this is really good stuff. Okay, so the Cannes Yachting Festival has been on, but I'm leaving today, but it's been fantastic seeing everybody, and it's just great to be at a boat show. COVID doesn't seem to have impacted the feeling at the show at all. Obviously everyone's still talking about it, but it just feels like any old kind of boat show, really. There's not a massive amount of difference, a few more hand sanitizers about the place, but it's really good. But there's been no shortage of really excellent boats at the show. So I thought I'd single out a couple of them. So on Monday night when I got here, there was a really beautiful event Bonetti put on at the Hotel Belle Reve, and present the new Moto Panfilo. I apologize to our Italian listeners. That's definitely the wrong way of saying it. But it's a really beautiful boat designed by Lazzarini and Pickering on the inside. And they've just done a really elegant job, actually. It's just a lovely, lovely boat. So on the tender over, I got to check out Solaris for the very first time because she was in town. I'm not sure if the boss was about, but very, very cool to see Solaris for the very first time.
And Stuart, there are quite a few World Superyacht Award winners that were at Cannes as well. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. So the Cantieri Delle Marche Aurelia is here, very proudly displaying this massive A-frame crane on the back. So she's proudly displaying her Neptune as well. So it's great to see her. Rebecca, the 40-meter Oasis model from Benetti, is here and attracting a lot of interest and attention. But a few others I thought were really notable. So the Y Yachts Trip 90, had a look around her with Bill Tripp. That's a winch interior. Really nice boat, set up for going around the world. Of course, you know, one of the big, well, the big, one of the biggest head turners at the show really is the Wally Yachts Y200, which is it's a remarkable looking boat. Actually, I had a really good tour of her at the with Monica and Stefano De Vivo at the Ferretti event in Monaco a little bit before the World Superyacht Awards. That is something else, that boat.
And we've obviously all been stuck in the office for 18 months now. How did it feel to actually be back on board touring some of these yachts that we've obviously all sat and looked at pictures of or read about?
Loved it. It's just so good. There's a really good mood here, which is lovely. The only thing, no one knows whether to shake hands, bump fists, do the elbows, tap feet. There needs to be some kind of superyacht industry coming together around an acceptable form of greeting at these boat shows, because it's so awkward. You kind of go in with a handshake and the other person puts out a fist, and then you go to fist and they put out their hand, and it is it's just all terribly awkward. So I think maybe we need to set a rule.
Yeah, I think you should lead the way.
I think
what is the rule?
I just don't fit. I'm still traditional. I just still love a handshake. The fist bump, I can't get on board with the fist bump. It just doesn't feel right to me. But it's probably much more COVID secure. But with the amount of hand sanitizer everyone's slathering on every 5 minutes, I'm sure handshakes aren't that bad. But yeah, I'm not an epidemiologist. So probably not the best person to be speaking about this.
I think men are just finally going through what women have gone through for years. Is it one kiss, two kiss? Are you handshaking? What are you doing? I think men are just finally experiencing that.
I blow it every time. I think two kisses is standard, but then sometimes the two kisses becomes unexpected, and then sometimes it's three kisses. I think the Dutch do the three kisses, and we need some kind of uniform standard.
Maybe we should have a meeting in the office, and then we can come back with official rules to inform all boat briefing listeners.
We'll do that. We'll get a press release out ahead of the Monaco Yacht Show. But fundamentally, just some really cool boats. So Van der Vogt, great Van der Vogt, that new Explorer. I suppose if you were to pick kind of a boat that everyone is talking about, it would be that Wally Y200, which is Luca Bassani design, remarkable faceted kind of design. And so I was with Luca on the boat in Monaco, and he said the design basically started with the idea of putting the master cabin forward on the main deck. So you walk through, and it is a remarkable experience. So this massive saloon, it feels like a catamaran. It's that wide. The beam's 7 meters or something on a 24 meter boat. It is a big, I'm not going to say fat, but very, very wide boat. And you walk through into the master cabin, and there's these beautiful windows that wrap around, and the experience is unlike any other boat of equivalent size. It is what they've done is really special. And you walk back out into the main saloon. It's catamaran like. It is vast.
Do you think it will be a game changer for that kind of size of yacht going forward?
I think so. As we all know, in that kind of size range, it's like it's a volume arms race, isn't it? So, there's been a few other examples. I know Princess have done some great things. Sunseeker have done some great things in that range with volume. But this is just the next step up. I think it's 200 gross tons and 24 meters or something like that. So it's just a wild amount of room. And then you go upstairs, and again, you know, the upstairs helm area is very large, and then the deck is just goes forever, and you can even wrap that in a winter garden as well to create more internal space. And there's this quite cool central structural carbon fiber staircase that runs through the boat that's kind of a design feature as well. So basically, if you're looking for a boat with just oodles of space in 24 meters, it's a great option. I mean, the Ferretti Group will tell you the looks are Marmite. Some people will love it, some people will hate it. But if the looks, kind of those futuristic faceted Wally-esque looks are your thing, and you want a ton of space in a modestly sized boat. I mean, it's the way to go.
And without putting you on the spot, which side are you on the Marmite debate?
Well, I mean, if you're buying the boat from the inside out, I mean, I like the idea of waking up in that master cabin, because it feels like, you know, on the big Diamond Sea Explorers, that those observation lounges at the front, and they, you know, they're 60, 70 metres. So that, it's the same kind of experience, it feels like, in that master cabin. So I'd quite like to wake up in that bedroom. So, yeah, I'm a fan. And we'll see how they sell. But, you know, with the power of the Ferretti Group, you'd expect they'll sell quite well. But yeah, I mean, lots of positivity and some great financial results being released. And it's just our business editor, Nick's been running his feet ragged, wearing out boat shoes, getting to all the press releases. And yeah, it's good to see lots of great numbers being put out there on our boat business channel. So do read those stories today.
Yeah, he's also sending out a daily briefing from the show as well, which is separate to our main newsletter. So people should definitely sign up for that as well if they're looking for even more boat business news during these shows. He'll do the same for Monaco.
Absolutely. So we have to talk about the World Superyacht Awards because it was last weekend, wasn't it? It already feels like 3 weeks ago.
It was just last weekend, yeah.
Genuinely feels like it was 3 weeks ago. So it was your first one, Sophia. How'd you find it?
Yeah, I mean, I've been at the company for years. I say nearly 7 years, and it's the first time I've actually made it. Yeah, it definitely lived up to expectations. I think this year was particularly special because it was the first time that the industry had been back together, and you just got this amazing kind of vibe that everyone was just so excited to be in the same room and seeing each other. And of course, the Monte Carlo Sporting is just a fabulous location, and that view when you walk into the room, and then for those of you that weren't there, the roof opened before we sat down for dinner, and it, you know, it just is a magical location as well.
It was great. I'd never been there before, so just like you said, walking into that room and then the roof was really spectacular. Yeah, but great event, and everyone was so happy to be back together. It was brilliant seeing everyone and just being in that room together. So we had about 330 guests, lovely spectacular entertainment. Our principal partner, I'll be killed by our commercial team if I don't mention the fact that our principal partner for the event was the OWO Residences, which is just this, so the old War Offices in London have been converted to a luxury hotel, and there are residences there for sale too, and they are truly spectacular. So let's talk about the winners. So we'll whip through these pretty quick. So the semi-displacement or planing motor yachts 30 to 39.9 metres, that went to the SX-112 from San Lorenzo, which the judges loved. That is a special boat with loads of really cool functionality on board. Next category was semi-displacement or planing motor yachts 40 metres and above. That was Club M from Baglietto. I was delighted to see Baglietto winning that Neptune. There's some great people at that company.
It was lovely to see the owners there as well and what it meant to them winning the Neptune as well. That was a great, great moment seeing them go up on stage to collect it.
Yeah, they were thrilled. They were really chuffed with that one. It was brilliant. Then displacement motor yachts 499 gross tons and below 30 to 39.9 metres. That was won by Aurelia, the Explorer from Cantiere de la Marche. The next category was displacement motor yachts 499 gross tons and below 40 metres and above, which was won by Rebecca. And again, Tim and Rebecca, the owners, were there proudly holding their Neptune aloft when they got to the top of the stage. That was brilliant.
And it's already on the yacht because you saw Rebecca in Cannes, right? And it's already being proudly displayed on Rebecca.
That's right. It's always good to see the Neptune front and centre on the boats, on the winning boats. Then displacement motor yachts 500 gross tons to 999 gross tons was won by Blue 2 from Turquoise Yachts. Just, I mean, I'm going to work my double negatives here. Nobody doesn't like that boat. Everyone loves that boat. Well, that's probably a simpler way of saying it.
It's a particular favourite of our social media manager, Claire's. She was really pleased that they won.
Yeah, absolutely. And then displacement motor yachts 1,000 gross tons to 1,599 gross tons. That was won by the Benetti Alpha, formerly known as Alcor. Benetti were delighted with that one. Then in the biggest categories, displacement motor yachts 1,600 gross tons to 2999 gross tons was won by Artifact, again a very popular winner, and the owners were there to accept their Neptune. So I had lunch. I was really lucky on Monday after the awards. I had lunch with the owner on the boat, and the Neptunes. We sat around this the dining table inside. The Neptunes formed the centerpiece. And then biggest category of displacement motor yachts, 3,000 gross tons and above, was won by the Fedship Moonrise. The Voyagers Award went to V6 for a very cool journey across the Atlantic, then up to the Svalbard Archipelago. And actually, they went through the Med, and I think they went into the Indian Ocean as well. It's a really, really cool trip. Refitted Yachts was won by Broadwater. The Fedship, which was extended at Royal Houseman by 4 meters, new beach club, interior remodeling. And before, it was just kind of classic mahogany gentleman's club interior, and they kind of turned it into this light, very modern, airy, more casual boat. And it's the beautiful job.
Yeah. It's kind of lost style, isn't it? I love the interior on that yacht.
Yeah, Adam Voorhees did a spectacular job. He's a brilliant designer. Rebuilt Yachts was won by Istros, which was a whole new superstructure added at Fedship. Just saved a kind of a... It wasn't rotting, but it wasn't in a good way. But Fedship have brought her back to life, and the owner was absolutely delighted with that award. And Sailing Yachts was won by the Wooden Wonder Geist. And again, so her owner was supposed to leave halfway through the ceremony. But then he started winning, so he stuck around. The private jet had to wait for him while he went up and accepted the awards. So he was very happy.
Yeah, I spoke to the Geist team afterwards from the yard, and they were very emotional about the win. It really makes you realise how much it means and how much, you know, 20 years of work sometimes goes into winning these awards and what it means to them.
Yeah, it's huge. It's absolutely huge because, again, and it's worth repeating again, these aren't judged by us. These aren't Boat International judged awards. They're judged by a panel of super yacht owners, hugely experienced owners. So that's why it really, really matters. And the two big ones were Motor Yacht of the Year and Sailing Yacht of the Year. And Sailing Yacht of the Year was Geist as her category winner. And Motor Yacht of the Year went to Artifact. So that's kind of like the best picture Oscar, I think. And I thoroughly deserved. I mean, Artifact genuinely is just a sensational boat. So I hadn't actually been on board before Monday, but we were toured through by Aaron Clark, the captain, who has been a guest on the podcast. And his input into the design and layout and engineering of the boat was unprecedented. Just what they've got, what they've achieved technologically in innovation terms is truly remarkable, and it's just beautifully designed. And the owner's previous boat was a 7.9 meter sea legs amphibious rib.
A bit of an upgrade.
so to achieve that, to achieve what he's achieved with the very first boat is nothing short of remarkable. And Nobbeskrug just did an amazing job on her.
She's going to be at Monaco Yacht Show as well, right? That's the plan.
She is going to be at the Monaco Yacht Show. Sadly, the owner won't be. He's not going to be around. He's very kindly lent us the boat for an evening. We'll be having a nice function on board during one of the evenings. But yeah, very, very special boat. And actually, it was great to see at the event, given Nobbeskrug's recent difficulties, the new owner of the shipyard, Lars Windthorst, was at the awards as well. So it's great to see him and have a chat with him and to have a quick talk about the future direction of the company. So you'll be hearing more from Lars, and he's actually been interviewed by Nick over at the Boat Business channel on the website as well. So if you want some insights into the future of Nobbeskrug from the new owner of Nobbeskrug, head over to Boat Business.
And did you have a kind of champagne moment from the entirety of the WSA? If you had to pick one highlight, what would it be?
I think watching the Nobbeskrug team get up accepting Motor Yacht of the Year for Artifact was a really, really great moment. Because I think that one just means more to most people. The competition for that award is so strong. And actually, because usually, and I think we made the point in the brochure, I mean, inevitably the judges kind of are drawn towards the bigger size categories when deciding motor yacht of the year. But actually this year, the smaller size categories, some brilliant boats in the smaller size categories that really gave Artifact a run for a money for motor yacht of the year. But in the end, I think that was absolutely the right decision to give Artifact that award. And yeah, just watching how pleased the owner and his family were was fantastic. And actually, it'd be really remiss of me not to mention there was a judges special award as well, which went to La Dacia. So that was the judges occasion. They have license to kind of, if there's a really special boat that's not a category winner, but they think it's so deserving of attention, it's not kind of a commendation award, but is deserving of its very own Neptune for doing something really special. They have license to do that, and they awarded the judges special award to La Dacia from Darman because you know, what a cool boat.
Yeah, I obviously interviewed the captain of La Dacia a few weeks ago for the podcast, and yeah, hearing some of what they've been up to is just super exciting to hear about a yacht in somewhere that yachts never go. And I mean, the heli skiing opportunities just sound incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so cool. And actually, so I've met a few listeners to the podcast over at the Cannes show. They said they're tuning in every week, and one of them singled out that interview as really good. It was a fascinating insight into the captain of a true expedition vessel. There were some commendations as well. So Cefea in the sailing yachts category, K584, Amare 2 from Heaton, and Luminosity all got judges' commendations as well. So congratulations to all of them. Alrighty, so that's all the WSAs and can chat. Sophia, why don't you talk us through the headlines this week? Then we'll do some data and then we'll get on with the interview.
Great, yeah. So we've picked up three stories this week that have caught our attention. The first of which is that San Lorenzo has partnered with Siemens Energy in a push to produce greener super yachts. The company made its commitment at the Cannes Yachting Festival, and the results should hopefully start to be seen across the super yacht industry in the next decade. The innovations are likely to focus on fossil fuel alternatives through green energy sources such as fuel cell technology. And Carla DeMare, who's on the board of directors of San Lorenzo, told our boat business editor Nick that sustainability had to become the focus for the company and that they have an ambitious answer to sustainability. So it'll be really interesting to see what they come up with there.
I've had a few really interesting conversations with people in the last week or two about the merits of hydrogen and battery, basically, or electric propulsion. So it's it's quite interesting. We'll have to get into it in another podcast. Perhaps we can get one of these people onto the podcast to talk about it. But basically, there does seem to be is hydrogen worth it? Shouldn't we just be doubling down on electric and batteries? So that's been quite interesting to discuss. But anyway, maybe we'll save that for another podcast.
Well, the theme kind of continues with our next story, which is that Formula One champion Fernando Alonso has commissioned a 60 Sunreef Power. The Polish shipyard announced this week that the Spanish two-time Formula One world champion had signed the contract for the 60 Sunreef Power Eco. He's, of course, following in some quite famous Spanish footsteps as tennis champion Rafael Nadal took delivery of an 80 Sunreef Power yacht called Great White in June 2020. Nadal was actually interviewed for the first ever boat briefing podcast talking about that yacht, so do go back and have a listen to that if you missed it at the time. It's still available. For Alonso, however, it was the yacht's eco credentials that were one of the reasons that apparently drew him to purchase. So the 60 Sunreef features electric engines with an ultralight battery bank for emissions, and also has an advanced solar panel system that covers 66 point square meters of the yacht's surface. Another fan of Catamaran Corner for you as well, Stuart.
People must be sick to death of me talking about catamarans. So there are some lovely ones here, actually, as well. I didn't single out any catamarans. But anyway, enough catamarans. What's our last story?
The last story is that 35-metre yacht Siempre, unfortunately, is a total loss after a fire that happened. The 35-metre Tanzu caught fire in Marina de Olbia in Sardinia this week. With the help of two fire brigade teams, the fire was put out after 3 hours, but unfortunately the damage was so extensive that the yacht capsized and then began to sink. A statement by Private Yacht Group, which manages the vessel, confirmed that the fire started on the aft deck before quickly spreading to other areas, but said that the cause is still currently unknown. They also confirmed that the four crew members who were on board at the time were safely evacuated and unharmed.
Never nice to see this. But just very pleased no one was hurt in that accident.
And particularly in a marina situation, good that it was contained, at least just to that one yacht.
Yeah, it's horrific when the fire spreads, as sometimes happens. Alrighty, let's talk a bit of data. So this is brought to you by Boat Pro, the superyacht industry's leading market intelligence platform. Check it out today. So this week, because we're in Cannes for the festival, we're going to look at French superyacht production. So the French Riviera may be considered the spiritual home of yachting for many, and France is certainly one of the main boat builders for yachts under 24 metres. Obviously, the massive Group Beneteau and many others build a huge amount of boats in the sub-24 metre category. But historically, the country has never been a huge player in superyacht construction. So Boat Pro data reveals that the country has built 267 superyachts, which makes up just 2.3% of the global fleet. But interestingly, France bucks the trend seen in most countries and has produced more sailing yachts than motor yachts. Obviously, a huge sailing tradition here, especially up in that Brittany area. So many successful around the world sailors are French. That's interesting to know that, certainly on the superyacht side, that's reflected in more sailing yachts being produced in France than motor yachts. But the French fleet is predominantly concentrated on the smaller end, with 61% of yachts between the 24 and 30 metre range, as you'd expect. On the other end of the scale, France has only built three yachts over 70 metres, the most notable of which is the explorer yacht Yersin. And you spoke to her owner, didn't you, Sophia?
Yeah, so I interviewed her owner and her captain back in 2020 about the first trip that they'd done to the Arctic Circle, which was the first time that they'd really kind of tested her explorer capabilities, and she definitely lived up to expectations. And of course, the other brilliant thing about her is her scientific research capabilities. So they actually mapped a lot of areas that hadn't been previously ever mapped, or certainly not for 100 years or so, while they're there, as well as also having different scientists on board during the trip. So she certainly is a standout yacht, and she's actually currently on the market with Fraser asking €69 million, in case anyone is interested in owning a standout piece of French construction.
So Yersin's the biggest superyacht ever constructed in France. The second biggest ever constructed is the 75 meter Fossea, previously Enigma, or Fotia. I'm never quite sure how to say that. I think it's Fossea. She caught fire and sank very sadly off the coast of Malaysia earlier this year. And in terms of shipyards, there are still four active today, including Kouach, JFA Yachts, obviously, who build brilliant boats, especially they're particularly active in the catamaran market. That's it, no more. CMB and Osea. The latter announced it had started construction on an E33. Meter yacht in July, so there will be more French yachts hitting the water soon. So that's it for data and news this week. My pronunciation has gone completely out the window. The hotel's trying to call me to get me out of my hotel room, and the cleaner's about to kick the door in. I need to go and get some sleep, and maybe I'll have a lie down at the airport. We'll see.
Yeah, Stu, you go and have a lie down, and we'll listen to Cecile with the lovely owners of All In.
That's right. Stay tuned and see you next time.
Hi, Anne and David. How are you?
Terrific.
Very good.
Great. Where are you today?
We're in our offices in Dallas. We're in North Dallas in a high rise. We overlook a beautiful golf course, but it's too hot to play.
Yes, summer in Dallas. You gotta love it. So you're not on the boat.
No, unfortunately not.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about how you got into this yachting thing. So I guess a couple of years ago, you got a boat called All In, and All In is spelled a little different. It's a play on words. Can you tell me about the name?
Well, of course, when you contemplate naming a boat, there are so many double entendres, and there are so many cute names, and there's so many. I made a list that was 3 pages long with 3 columns, single spaced, of all of the possibilities. And then at one point, it dawned on me that All In sounded good because it was a financial term. But then it was, if you put another N on it, it became a family term. So the All In refers to the fact that it's all family and friends, and it's just a big floating hotel.
Yeah, very cool. That's an interesting name.
So we did get to rename it. We did get to rename it. So when we bought it, it was another name of a boat.
It
and
was,
we changed it.
And it was flagged in the Marshall Islands, and we wanted to reflag it in the U.S.
Okay, great. So it's a U.S. flag. Very good. But all in means you're both into this, right? But if I know this correctly, at the beginning, maybe you weren't both quite on board with this idea. Tell me about that.
Yeah, getting on board is a hard thing to do sometimes. But Mr. Sutherland came up with a brilliant idea. And of course, then he had to gently suggest it to me. So psychologically, he was working on me. And then he said one day, he said, "Hey, I've got this great idea." And so you can go ahead and tell her what your great idea was.
Well, we had had a vacation home, a second home, for 15 years. And we felt obligated to go there every time. And once all of our kids and grandkids had gone, it was kind of hard to get them back. So once we sold that house, I said to Ann, "Well, wouldn't it be great if we had a second home that floated and we could have different adventures in different parts of the world and have an opportunity to where they wanted to be with us, even especially if we were in an exotic place. And certainly you can go there with boats." So it just seemed like an extension of the second home, but a moving one.
Okay, but he also decided this when we're moving from a house that we built back in early 2000s to a new house that we were just completing. And also on top of that, he had planned a week's vacation to go fishing. And he says all of this, and then I said, "Honey, we're moving into our house right now. We don't have time for this." And he said, "Oh, this is a 5-year plan, and it'll take me at least 6 months to find something and make the deal and all of that." And I said, "Well, let me think about it." And then I thought, well, 5-year plan, there's a beginning, there's an end. And oh, it's out in the future, so we'll be in our house and everything will be fine. And I said, "Okay, well, let's think about it." So he began thinking really fast.
Well, the key here is that once you get a broker involved, you're going to find a boat.
So that's how his lunch happened, because he called the friend that actually introduced us to yachting, because he had a boat and we were always a guest on the boat and we loved it. We had a lot of fun. And so David went to lunch with his friend, Ed, and they're talking and David's asking for tips. And then the next thing that happened was,
well, he gets out his cell phone and he said, "Let me put you in contact with this broker." And we're in the middle of the mansion dining room in Dallas and we're having breakfast, and he gets the guy on the phone and he puts the phone in the middle of the table. And of course, everybody in the room is listening to our conversation about this boat. I was asking Ed for tips, but he said, "Well, as your best friend," he said, I really want you to get it." And he said, "But as your financial advisor, you might think twice."
That's very true.
So we connected with that young man and with the broker in Fort Lauderdale. And 10 days later, we were in Fort Lauderdale looking at 4 different boats.
Yeah, that wasn't the 6 months that we talked about.
That's quite a reduced timeline, shall we say.
Yes, it was. So it was quite a shock.
Yeah. So in the end, you selected a Westport that was built in 2008, 130 feet, if I'm right. What drew you to this particular boat?
Well, in all the times that we had been on boats, we'd been on several Broward boats. We'd been on a West ship. We were partners in a West ship for several years, which actually is a Westport variation. And I had so admired the lines of a Westport 130, and it just seemed to be the ideal boat. It just seemed to have the ideal amount of space. The draft isn't so big. You can't get into some of the cozy places in the Bahamas. It's it's just an all-around boat that is easy to live on. It's a powerful boat. It can go fast if you want it to. It's very commodious for 12 people. We've had as many as 40 on board for a cocktail.
40? Wow.
For a cocktail party, not for a cruise.
Right. Well, I imagine not cruising around.
Right. So, and I love the idea that it was American made. Ann and I've been showing our products at the Monaco Yacht Show for many years. And I have great respect for the big boat builders and for the really quality builders out there. But Westport's a great quality boat. It in truth, it holds its value for a long time. And it's I just like the idea that it was made in America.
Yeah, I understand that. And it's nice that we still have a builder doing that. I understand when you looked at it, it had already some of the furniture from Sutherland on there. Was that a factor in your decision? You said, aha, good taste, I'm in.
No, but Westport was a customer of ours since the early 2000s. And it's not unusual even today to see a Westport with our furniture on it. And it was typically part of the initial package. We were a favored supplier of Westport, but there were 10 pieces of our furniture on there, and they'd been there since for 13 years, and they just looked as good as the day we put them on. So we still have our furniture on there, obviously, but we changed some of those pieces out. So I was looking for the mechanics because I knew we would be changing things on the inside. So when we found this boat and my captain told me it was really in great condition, it was just in pristine condition. The inside looked like your grandmother's sewing room. And so when we walked on, you know, Anne was kind of hesitant. She was still kind of holding back, you know, and she walked in through the aft deck and she said, oh my gosh, we've got a lot of work to do.
Color palette was golds and yellows and just not of the moment, and certainly not, I don't think, seaworthy. You know, I wanted more of that palette that goes with the ocean. And it was dated. It needed some freshening. So it was a great project to start with. And we changed wallpaper. We changed carpeting. We brightened up the palette with light neutrals and off-whites. And then touches of blue, so more nautical, much more nautical. But the interior is very soothing and monochromatic, and we did most everything. I mean, we changed all the furniture except for like the dining table, which is part of the, you know, comes with the boat mounted on the floor, and we didn't really change the woodwork, but so it still has that typical Westport kind of wood finish, the shiny, you know, lacquered finish. But we really did update the interior, and it was fun to do that. And it's a good experiment too, because, you know, going to the Monaco Yacht Show for many years, until you actually are on a boat, you own a boat, you don't understand the wear that these boats get. And it's really, When I go to the Monaco Yacht Show, I can speak with authority about what works, what doesn't work, what you need, what you don't need. And, you know, and I'm looking forward to yet again working on the boat to continue to kind of freshen it up. We didn't do the downstairs suites yet, so I'm excited to get down there and do some work down there. So it's fun. It's fun.
Yeah. Do you get a lot of ideas for both of your businesses from the boat, from being on there?
Absolutely. Furniture-wise, definitely we see the need for certain kinds of pieces of furniture that, you know, you wouldn't normally maybe visualize. Stacking chairs are great. Swivel chairs are great with a return swivel that always goes back to the same spot because you want them always swinging around.
Good point.
Things that you can mount into the floor are you know, good to have, tables. And, of course, heavy things are better because then they're not going to shift around on the boat. We're, you know, sectional sofas are becoming more important on these larger boats. So a new style of that. You know, the curving, swooping kind of forms are now being favored, and they're beautiful on the boats. More importantly, I think area rugs are really strong now because they're putting more hard floors on the boats, and then they want those area rugs to define the lounging area. And we're, of course, now in the rug business, and our rugs are perfect for yachting. And that's where we started our rugs, is at the Monaco Yacht Show. So we really want to take off our rug designs and our rug message to the yachting industry. More so, I mean, I really want to focus on them, but of course, we're doing the residential work too with our rugs. But we even put our name all in on the small rugs that you enter when you enter into the boat, and down on the deck, on the docks where you go up the stairs, we have one down there that has our name in it, and the crew can just hose it off and they can store it away. It's so durable for them, but it's still luxury looking. So that's a big deal for us.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, so many times, you know, we go on boats and walk in, and, you know, you have those absolutely sumptuous silk carpets, you know, white or cream tones, and I'm always very nervous about walking on there. So what's different about those carpets, and how are they made?
Okay, well, they're solution dyed acrylic from Perennials. That's our specialty. Solution dyed acrylic is the best fiber to use as a substitute for natural fibers or even other synthetic fibers because of colors within the fiber, so they're not going to fade. So you can put them out in the sun, leave them out on the deck, on the docks, and they're not going to fade. But then also, if they get wine spills or squid ink or any kind of thing, you can bleach it out, and you're not going to affect the color. We were recently on another boat, a charter boat, and the stewardess told me, she said, "I don't like to have dinners in the dining room because I don't want to get anybody staining the carpet in here." So we were always eating out on the aft deck because she didn't want to serve in the dining room, and it was good weather. So she was very concerned about the carpet in the dining room because it's such a task for them to try to clean something while they're still operating, you know, still have a full appointment of guests on. They can't stop and clean things. So our rugs are perfect for boats and homes too, but that's the big value of them. And we, I, you know, she was excited to hear about our rugs for that kind of purpose.
So I understand, I know on the furniture side, obviously you've worked very closely with designers, but also with Perennials, you're bringing some designers. Can you tell me about some of the creative work that's happening?
The first kind of real yacht experience team that we've been working with, it started with furniture, still is it with furniture, is Benetti and Kazursky, architects out of New York. And they created a collection for us called the Plateau. And we introduced that to the residential market. And that kind of started in the residential market. They were working for Donna Karan in New York. And this idea, this concept came from that project. And then, so we got with them. And then they connected with Benetti. And Benetti wanted them to design a new boat for them. And that one is called the Oasis.
That's right.
And
it's a 40 meter as well.
40 meter, yeah. And, you know, it came out during COVID, and Benetti said, "We don't think we're going to sell but 4 or 5. And I think they've sold 14 or 15 now.
Yeah, I think you're right. The last time I checked, it was up to 15. Yeah.
And that beautiful design work that Benetti and Kazursky did was just fabulous. And it was trend setting too. It changed the way the boats are being designed now, I think. And so they've really, you know, done a pathfinding there. And now they're going to do another design for Benetti. So that was the first one. And now we're working with Bannenberg and Raoul and doing furniture collection with them, specifically pointed toward yachts in the beginning. But then they see another version of this collection going more residential. So it's not quite as expensive. You know, everything you do in the yachting world has to be able to put that high gloss finish on it. Sometimes they don't want it anymore, but you've got to have that flexibility. And they want more metal details, in the boating industry, whereas if you go residential, you might not have some of those details. So we're working closely with them, and then they've just signed up to do a fabric and rug collection with us too. So the whole thing will be together. So that's really exciting.
Oh, wow. That's great. That's great. When are we going to get to see some of that?
Well, I think next Monaco is our goal, to have them there. We actually wanted
in 2022.
Yes, yeah.
We're talking about Bannenberg and Raoul.
Yeah, now. Bannenberg and Raoul.
Yes, right.
But I bet Benetti and Kaczerski will have that Benetti boat in that time frame as well. They may get it out. I don't know if they'll get it out sooner. So it could all come together at the same time.
That's great. I understand recently, Anne, you were in India, right? What's going on there?
Well, that's where we're building our rug empire.
Okay.
and so we started in 2019, and we sent our man to India, and we found a location where there was already a small building, and we've added on to that building. And then during COVID, we started another project where we took another lot of land across the street from this original and built a complete new center. And at this time, we have maybe about 400 weavers weaving rugs. These are all hand-woven rugs. We do all varieties. We do flat wovens. We do Tibetan knots. We do drop stitch. We do braided rugs. So we're doing a lot of different variety of rugs, but they're all hand-done, and they're all done with our fiber and our yarn. And it's quite ambitious, and we've been able to forge through the COVID period getting it up and running. So we're very, very excited, and it was a wonderful trip. We had an inauguration of the facility, and everybody participated, and now most of our people have been vaccinated, at least one shot so far. So we're getting that safety net around our team as well. So that's been really great, and I had a great trip.
Well, that's an achievement in itself, to getting to India and back during COVID. Traveling has not been the easiest lately.
No.
So where is the boat now? Where is All In at the moment?
She's in the Northeast. She's up in Nantucket, Martha's Vineyard, Newport area.
Nice.
And she's on charter this week too. So
right.
Oh, very good. How much charter do you do with All In?
A lot.
Yeah.
We don't have time to be on it now because they're working all the time.
I think we've got 12 to 14 this year. Our agent is Fraser, and they have been just fantastic in helping us find the right clientele. We prefer to have families and so forth on board. We've got all the toys, and we prefer to have family people rather than, you know, week-long parties. So, so it's been very successful. Fraser tells us that we're one of the, in our category, that we're probably their top charter.
Well, that's amazing. So, I mean, is that beyond your expectation, or did you have in mind to do as much charter?
Well, beyond. We would have been happy with 8 to 10, but our captain is very amenable to this increase. Our crew's happy with it. And obviously, if you can keep a boat like this moving, you keep all the parts moving, and you keep all the people moving, and everything continues to work as it should.
Yeah, good, good. Well, when is the next time you are going to get on?
We're going to go to the Caribbean, go to St. Bart's in December. So it will be a fun time to be there. And we've got friends going with us. We went 2 years ago and had a fabulous time down there.
What do you like about St. Bart's?
Well, you know, it's not so much of a cruising island. It's a party island. So you go down, you have your boat, you get to live on it, but then you go across and you do all the fun restaurants and beaches, and it's just a beautiful place to have, you know, friends and parties, and they've got interesting places there that are always everybody likes to go to. So that's, you know, it's a big draw in the December months, and our crew likes to be there. And in fact, we go before Christmas. He likes to charter Christmas and New Year's because he's got some repeat people that want to be on, and they love to party down there. And of course, the dollar amount goes way high. You know, it's expensive to be in St. Bart's over New Year's because everybody's...
Yeah, that's what I hear.
The big boats are there.
It's so, big boat heaven, let me tell you.
We're side by side with the big guys.
We could be a tender for some of the boats.
Well, does that give you an opportunity to go take a look at their furniture and their fabrics? Yeah. What's going on there?
So that's going to be fun. But then David's got big plans for next year, which is going to change the way we've operated because he wants to go up the West Coast and go to Alaska. So that'll be a big adventure for 2022. And we'll start in March and go through the Panama Canal. And then
fun. Have you done that before?
No.
So that's a first, yeah.
Right. Yeah, and that's, you know, that's the problem with a smaller boat like ours is that you're not really going to take it across the Atlantic. It's kind of really hard on it unless you ship it over there. So staying around the coast of the U.S. is, or in the Bahamas, is the best thing. But, you know, going through the Panama Canal is a big commitment. And it's kind of a long way up to get back up to Alaska or the west coast of the U.S. So it's a year's trip. And we, of course, will try to charter part of that, too. And there's a lot of people that want to charter in Alaska because there's not very many boats up there that charter. So that should be an amazing, amazing trip.
Are you planning to do the passage of the canal? You want to be on board or?
Yes, I will be on board.
Definitely. Yeah, that's a really cool experience. It takes a little while, but it's a lot of fun. So what's next for All In? Do you foresee the day where maybe you go and get another boat and do the entire interior with your furniture and your fabrics?
This has been the real lesson in all of this because it was my idea and I had to like drag her along. And now she's just chomping at the bit. Where's our next boat? Where's our next boat? You know, mostly it's the guys who want to get bigger and bigger and bigger. Well, in this case, you know, she wants to get better and better and better. But
yeah, I don't necessarily need bigger, but I would like to do it from the start. And of course, that's a long, you know, that can be 2-3 year experience to start a boat, and especially with the backlog they have right now. But it would be fun. It would be a dream to get to do the whole thing. I would want to work with a specialist, with a yacht designer, of course. There's so many quirks about boats that you need experience to really do them. But decoratively, I would really enjoy doing that. And we've seen so many beautiful boats now. I just drool every time I see one.
She would have an Oasis 40 tomorrow.
Yes.
Oh, really?
Deliver tomorrow, yeah. But as we mentioned, they're about 3 or 4 years out now.
Now you're going to be a hull 16.
Yes. Yeah. Well, actually, 17 is our lucky number, so we'd have to have 17.
Okay.
That would be it. Maybe I could talk him into that. That's a good idea, Cecile. I like.
Can you
that.
See going? Can you believe? I mean, you know, she went from, you know, like let me drag her along to you know, being the focal point on the front of the boat, you know?
That's what happens.
I've already picked out our new name, though, and it's One and Done.
One and Done. Okay. One and Done. All right.
That's what this one was supposed to be.
It's too late. It has to be Two and Done.
Well, that's great. I mean, it seems like a perfect match, you know, between your business and your private life to mix and match and get inspiration for new ideas. And
we have had the good fortune to be able to offer the boat to clients. And, you know, it's just a really great thing to be able to say to longtime clients and friends that, you know, here's this experience for you. And it's the kind of thing that people don't forget. And we're just so happy to have it and to be able to share it.
That's great. Well, listen, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure catching up with you. And thank you for talking with me today. And well, I hope to see you around sometime soon.
Thank you, Cecile.
Thanks for listening to this week's Boat Briefing, which was mixed and produced by Grace Nielsen and is a production of Boat International Media. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll see you next week.